It also includes the government-run public plan. So this one, and that's probably one of the most controversial things that as you listen to the healthcare debate is public plan or no public plan. In the early stages, the Democrats were almost unanimously saying we have to have a public plan. And the Republicans were saying they did not want a public plan. The objections to a public plan are that from the standpoint of providers, they believe that a public plan will be an expansion of Medicare. Most providers, physicians and hospitals feel that Medicare pays inadequately. Blue Cross, Blue Shield, private insurance pays more, and so they don't want expansion of what they consider to be a poor payer. And so those that are against the public plan feel that we need to only concentrate on enhancing Blue Cross, Blue Shield, and private insurance. Those that are in favor of it feel that if we don't have some type of a public plan safety net, the people that are not covered through Blue Cross and Blue Shield will fail to have coverage. The proposal in the Tri-Committee bill includes some geographic adjustments and variations. This is a cost savings measure. What it says is studies have been done on how much it costs to have gallbladder surgery in every part of the United States, in Southern California versus Northern California versus Texas versus Montana versus Connecticut. Some parts of the country, it's more expensive to have the exact same procedure done. And proposals are being made to penalize those parts of the country where it's more expensive. And so there is a controversial aspect to some payment reductions based on geographic location. The House bill includes rural provisions. For us in Fort Bragg, what that means is continuation of the Critical Access Hospital program and continuation of other programs that help to ensure access to health care and hospital care in rural parts of the United States. That's considered to be very important. The physician payment fix is, for years, Medicare has been threatening to cut payments to doctors. It's been averted every year, and they do include a permanent fix. The 340B drug program is something that would be helpful to us at Mendocino Coast District Hospital as well. 340B provides hospital providers access to governmental pricing on drugs. We don't currently have that. Should the 340B drug program be extended to CAH, that stands for Critical Access Hospital, that's us. Should 340B be extended to critical access hospitals, that will save us a lot of money in our pharmacies. So we're excited about that. And the total savings is $155 billion over the 10 years. So in the House, the next steps and the key concerns right now are that whole controversy about public plan versus no public plan. Readmissions policy, which penalizes hospitals when patients are readmitted in the same month. I'll discuss that a little bit more. Accountable care organization structure is a payment methodology where doctors and hospitals work together to discount the pricing on healthcare services, with the challenge being striking the balance for the Democrats between the Blue Dogs Progressive Caucus, because in order to pass legislation in the House, it will require 218 votes. There are a total of 256 Democrats in the House, including 52 Blue Dog Democrats and 57 Progressive. So if you take that 109 away from the 256, they don't have enough votes. The Liberal Democrats alone do not have enough votes to pass health care reform. They will need to bring along Blue Dogs, Progressive Caucus, perhaps even Republicans in order to pass something. But it is expected that something, that H.R. 3200 will pass in the House. And now, moving over to the Senate side, that there is optimism that this is our best opportunity for bipartisan support, best opportunity to shape a package that protects our interests in a fair and balanced manner and represents a barometer of what is doable. This is Max Baucus here on the left. You'll see his picture a lot as the chair of the Finance Committee and a key player in this whole discussion. In the Senate, the options are support the Baucus plan, scale back, or reconciliation. Reconciliation is a process which has been discussed. It allows the Senate to pass legislation with a simple majority and not with a super majority. It actually applies to budget provisions only. It is somewhat questionable, possibly even controversial. It has been discussed even by the Obama administration that if there's not enough Republican support, it's possible through the reconciliation process that the Democrats, because they do have a simple majority in the Senate, they actually have had a supermajority in the Senate until Senator Kennedy died, where even without reconciliation, the Democrats had 60 Democrats in the Senate and could have passed. Now that Senator Kennedy has passed away, there's only 59 Democrats in the Senate, so reconciliation gets back on the table. This is where things are really active right now. The Senate Finance Committee released its chairman's mark on September 16th, and it was just a week ago, called America's Healthy Future Act of 2009. And the HELP Committee in the Senate has already completed their markup. So the next couple of slides deal with what is expected to be a major potential as far as healthcare reform. This is the America's Healthy Future Act of 2009, released 2 weeks ago on September 16th, and now currently under review and being voted upon. Coverage would be 94% of people, as I said a moment ago, residing in the United States through Medi-Cal expansions, individual mandate, and low-income subsidies for people with incomes below 300%. Plan would create state-based insurance exchanges, expand access to affordable insurance products, and create nonprofit co-ops instead of a public plan option. So under their proposal, all that controversy about public plan versus no public plan, currently in the Senate Finance Committee, they've taken the approach of no public plan. And in place of a public plan, they're proposing co-ops, nonprofit co-ops, and the language on the nonprofit co-ops state that any nonprofit, a nonprofit that feels like they have the ability to put together a health insurance plan that would provide services to low income would have the ability to do it. Hospital payment updates, there's $106.3 billion in savings on payments to hospitals. Other savings and additional costs in the Senate finance bill include Medicare DSH, Medicaid DSH. DSH stands for Disproportionate Share Hospital. So those hospitals that provide more than their fair share of Medi-Cal and Medicare payments for years have received additional payments, and those are being scaled back. Readmissions, for those hospitals that readmit a patient within 30 days, they're being proposed to be penalized. Hospital-acquired conditions means when there's an error that occurs in the hospital, hospitals would not be paid for those services, which only makes good sense. Accountable care organizations I've talked about, rural provisions I've talked about, and physician payments. Medicare commission down at the bottom, which represents a savings of $22.6 billion, would create a new body that would oversee savings in the Medicare program in upcoming years. Very latest is that 500 amendments were proposed to the Senate finance bill, and most of them will not be dealt with. What I heard earlier today was that the committee has very high hopes of completing their work and passing a bill by this Thursday, October 1st. And as I said, there is optimism compared to any other time in the last 30 or 40 years. There's a better chance of success than ever before. But this is going to be like an Indiana Jones movie where we kind of slip through a lot of narrow escapes. And of course, we have the support of the president, who is working very hard to try and get something passed this year. And the statement that I received from the Hospital Association is that America's hospitals applaud President Obama for his continued focus on health reform and are pleased to hear him reaffirm his commitment to expanding coverage to the millions of Americans without health insurance. Our hope is for meaningful reform that, along with expanded coverage, also allows for important delivery system changes, permitting physicians and hospitals to better coordinate care and move healthcare in America towards a system of prevention and wellness. And as we said at the beginning, from the hospital perspective, we really feel like it needs to be shared responsibility by all. Employers, individuals, providers, and with new taxes. And the need to be for something is a statement directed towards the hospitals. You know, the Hospital Association has drawn some criticism for jumping on the bandwagon saying, yes, you know, we will give up $155 billion in revenue over the 10 years. And some hospitals are going, what? Are you crazy? We're barely making it now. How can you possibly agree to something like that? Looking at the bigger picture, we feel like it's important to be at the table. In fact, I heard a really cute quote from about a week ago that said that if in these discussions, if you're not at the table, then you're on the menu. We don't want to be on the menu. And we were on the menu. There's a lot of players involved in healthcare reform. You'll recognize a lot of these logos, but they include SEIU and AARP and the American Nurses Association and Blue Cross and Blue Shield and the Association of Health Plans, a lot of the insurance agents, all involved in trying to put together something. The little logo in the middle is the one that represents the Hospital Association. And that's my presentation. So what questions can I try to, yes?
Well, who are the people that are gonna be uninsured in this reform? And what are they supposed to do, and who is going to care for them?
Well, you know, the goal is to keep the number of people that are uninsured to the very minimum. So I anticipate it would be the people that maybe don't take responsibility, and perhaps the homeless maybe might be at risk for someone that might fall through the cracks under this proposal. You know, certainly illegal immigrants are a population that there's concern about how we cover them. But for those responsible individuals, responsible employers that take seriously this national goal to provide coverage for everybody, we would expect that they would accept the subsidies that are being offered, so that, you know, if you are, let's say, under 300% of federal poverty level and don't have the ability to pay for your health care insurance, you would accept the perhaps the Medi-Cal coverage or the co-op insurance coverage that's provided for you. So I don't know if that answers your question, but I think it is, you know, people need to take responsibility, and those that will fall through the cracks, I think, will be those that don't.
Do they have the means to?
Those that can't.
Someone homeless is,
There'll be advocates, hopefully, for them, and we're still going to take care of them. We always do.
Yeah, that's a good point. Lynn, one of our ER and ICU nurses in the audience, that some people have said, we already have national health coverage because everybody that needs coverage can get it. They just need to go to their local emergency room. Some people have difficulty getting the emergency room, but we don't turn anybody away.